Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jordan from Laytonville High School, and
Jesse from Laytonville High School,
and Royce, a Willits High School graduate.
Today our topic is Youth Don't Worry About Privacy, Why We Should. We all have cell phones, as do most of you. This allows us to make or receive a phone call wherever we are, whenever we want. To our generation, this seems to be nothing special. To many of you in the audience, this is a huge shift from corded phones, and some of you still wonder where all the public phone booths went. While cell phone reception is imperfect up here in this mountainous region, we never have to travel far to get a signal.
All of our cell phones have the ability to text. To text is to send a short written message from one cell phone to another. You can see people doing it at stoplights all the time. A recent survey said that nationally, teens text an average of 3,000 times a month. We do not text that much, but we do know how convenient the service is for getting information or connecting with our friends. We have been told by an elderly fellow that there are a number of people in our community that have never texted. He also claims to have lived for 15 years without any telephone service and suffered no ill effects. All of our cell phones are smartphones, quite a leap beyond old-fashioned cell phones. Smartphones incorporate sophisticated computers, allowing us to access the internet wherever we are, as well as listen to music, play video games, take photographs, and stay in contact through social media like Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter. To our generation, this seems to be nothing special. Smartphones are the norm.
The ability to contact and be contacted wherever you are can be life-saving, or at least reassuring to parents and friends. In an emergency, a cell phone, that is one that can be located through GPS app, being able to do this is good news if you're trying to track someone else's phone, or need someone to find you by tracking your phone. Maybe you're lost. This can even come in handy for government agencies trying to nab criminals. But it can be bad news for those who put a premium on privacy, because if you can track your cell phone, others can track it as well. We could define privacy as the state or condition of being free from being observed or disturbed by other people. People who graduated from high school more than 20 years ago probably read George Orwell's novel 1984. He wrote the book in 1949 about a tyrannical state led by Big Brother, who employed futuristic means of spying on citizens, and constantly rewrote history to reflect the government's viewpoint. The vision of cameras and recorders in every room monitoring people was disturbing. When the actual year 1984 came around, many readers felt relieved that the Western world appeared to have retained freedom and privacy.
Edward Snowden is a computer professional who worked with material from the U.S. government's National Security Agency, known as the NSA. Last year, he began revealing a great deal of information about how the NSA spies on people and other governments around the world. After he left the country and found refuge in Russia, he leaked details about the massive amount of data the NSA tracks on American citizens through their phones and computers. And those who had read the novel 1984 came to recognize that we have been under a great deal of surveillance. The difference is that instead of cameras in our rooms, most citizens keep an elaborate tracking device in their pocket, the smartphone. Every year, the Queen of England gives a Christmas message on the BBC, and a political figure is allowed a message on BBC4. Last Christmas, Edward Snowden was chosen, and here is what he said.
Here is Edward Snowden's Christmas message.
Hi, and Merry Christmas. I'm honored to have a chance to speak with you and your family this year. Recently, we learned that our governments, working in concert, have created a system of worldwide mass surveillance, watching everything we do. Great Britain's George Orwell warned us of the danger of this kind of information. The types of collection in the book, microphones and video cameras, TVs that watch us, are nothing compared to what we have available today. We have sensors in our pockets that track us everywhere we go. Think about what this means for the privacy of the average person. A child born today will grow up with no conception of privacy at all. They'll never know what it means to have a private moment to themselves, an unrecorded, unanalyzed thought. And that's a problem, because privacy matters. Privacy is what allows us to determine who we are and who we want to be. The conversation occurring today will determine the amount of trust we can place both in the technology that surrounds us and the government that regulates it. Together, we can find a better balance, end mass surveillance, and remind the government that if it really wants to know how we feel, asking is always cheaper than spying. For everyone out there listening, thank you and Merry Christmas.
Edward Snowden is an activist who is opposed to mass surveillance. He is worried that our generation will never know privacy rights because of our technological equipment. Many people say that if you are not doing anything illegal, then government surveillance should not be a problem. Many young people do not worry about their cell phone use, texting, or what they post on social media. Many see no problem if advertisers track them and sell personality data to other companies. These are some of the topics we hope you will discuss with us when we open the phone lines later in the hour.
Privacy extends to other parts of our lives as well. In California, a minor may receive confidential family planning services, including contraception and abortion. And this, upon a minor's request, can be kept confidential from their parents. There are now laws sealing records of minors who are treated for substance abuse along with other medical records. Students have some privacy rights about their educational records, and they now have the right to review those records. Much of the research for this show came from two websites. The American Civil Liberties website, that is www.aclu.org, has a wealth of information about privacy rights and legal actions underway. The Electronic Frontier Foundation's website, that's www.eff.org, offers a vast knowledge about surveillance risks when using digital equipment like smartphones and computers.
If you think that you do not need to worry about any of this because you're doing nothing illegal or political, you should at least consider the serious problem of identity theft. Many people in our rural community have had or experienced identity theft and been presented with bills for goods or services they've never received. Some young people have been refused employment because of something offensive they posted on Facebook. And in a previous show on bullying, we addressed the abusive actions that some young people take on Facebook and Twitter. There is much to talk about, and we do hope you'll join us when we open up the phone lines in 20 or 30 minutes. Our number will be 707-456-9991. So, let's go around and describe how we feel about privacy and our smartphones. Do the benefits outweigh the risks?
I think there is a lot of benefits to the internet and like having our smartphones, because we can keep in contact with people that we probably would have never seen again. Like, I used to live in Kansas and I still keep in contact from people from when I was just a kid and they were my friends, and like I can still talk to them over Facebook if I feel like it, or Google, like that has a vast amount of information. But there is definitely a lot of risks of using websites like that.
Yeah, and it also, especially with smartphones now, with you can get internet browsers on them, allowed us to access a lot of information we couldn't get remotely if we didn't have smartphones.
Definitely. What did people do before smartphones if they wanted to come into contact with someone that they had known years before, but had lost contact with them, and the phone numbers had changed? Like, my parents, they had a big, like, phone, like, a little phone book that they had all their friends and, like, past acquaintances in, and a good portion of those numbers were wrong. And I think that the internet definitely helps us keep track of people that we may have lost without it. But then again, there's, like, the flip side of how many people you're friends with on Facebook and how many people you actually know out of those people. So there might be a risk there of people you don't actually know and having access to your stuff. But then again, there are people you do know and you want to keep contact with that you wouldn't be able to do in real life.
But there's also people that you know that might like end up going, you know, a little mad with your stuff, and then not good.
There is like a constant thing that you have to like watch your internet profile, and if there are people that you knew before and that they have changed, you have to unfriend them and make sure that they can't get access to your stuff and block them. Yeah. And yeah. So there's definitely more work involved now ignoring people as well as coming being in contact with them.
Yeah.
Phones also, instead of just being a communication tool, they've also turned into an entertainment tool. I know you can watch videos on them, play games and everything. And
Netflix.
Oh, yeah, Netflix, yeah. Yeah.
My mom will look at me and she'll be like, "What are you doing? What have you been doing for hours on end on a thing? You just stare at it all the time." And I'm like, "Mom, there's so much I can do on here. There's so much." like we said earlier, there's like games and social media itself can just take forever. You can basically social media forever.
For days. Yeah, I actually don't really have that many like games on my phone. I have like maybe one or two that I play every now and then, but I really don't have games on my phone.
Yeah, me either. The games that are available for phones seem a little simplistic, and whenever I look at them, they all seem to be like Bejeweled. They're Bejeweled, like different versions of Bejeweled, but it's all that game, every single one of them.
Or like Temple Run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you gonna say something? No. I know a lot of people don't use their smartphones for games and things like that, but actually use it just strictly for communication. What do you think about that?
Well, that's
a major function of cell phones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're originally for, you know.
Yeah.
Those big brick phones that you like strap to the side of your pants, give you some cancer.
the means of communication these days have definitely changed from the past. There's quite a different amount of ways that you can communicate with other people. You can call them, you can text them, you can send them a video, you can send them a picture, you can Snapchat them, you can Twitter them, you can Tumblr them, you can email them, you can send them a website code. I mean, there's so many different ways.
Trying to think of another way, but I think you covered it all.
You can record your voice on Facebook and send that to them.
Oh, there's like this like weird app. I think it's called like Foursquare or something like that. That you like check in, like where you've been. Like that's like the thing. Like you check in like your GPS, and it tells like where you were last, which is really creepy.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't remember what it's called.
Like we talked about earlier, GPS does have definitely a certain positive means in case you're in trouble and you need someone to find you. But a lot of times, I don't want people to find me. It's kind of scary thinking that someone can look at the websites or my phone and be like, "I know where Royce is right now. He's down at the park. He's sitting there. He's hanging out. He's at his house right now. He's wandering around town. He's underneath that bridge over there." Yeah, that isn't fun. There's a setting on my phone. It's location services. And I can check whether or not that's on or whether or not things on my cell phone has access to the GPS or like cell phones or anything. And I always have that thing off.
So yeah, like, me too.
we can't work without location services. I'm like, you're a picture app. I don't want you. Why would you need to know where I am? I think that's
a picture
safe.
Tells enough.
Yeah.
Cell phone providers and their companies can also track your phone without even the use of your GPS. They can triangulate your position just from a cell phone signal.
Yeah, from like the little tower.
And the only way to really combat that is to turn off your cell phone, but how many times do we do that?
Yeah, what's really the point of having a cell phone if you just leave it off?
Yeah. But like we said earlier, you really have to be doing something pretty naughty to like focus on like, okay, gotta turn my cell phone off, location off, Bluetooth off. Now no one can find me. I'm safe to do whatever I want.
But you have to put it on airplane mode too.
Yeah, airplane mode too.
Because then it shuts off, like, so you can't send any messages or anything. Because, like please turn, like, you when you're on an airplane and, like, you have to turn your phone off for liftoff. Later, you can turn it back on, but it has to be on airplane mode so it doesn't, like, mess up.
Actually, nowadays, like, one of the planes that I was on quite recently, it has Wi-Fi on the plane.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So they're like, have fun with that. You don't even have to turn your phone off. They tell you you don't have to turn your phone off because it doesn't mess with anything.
Oh, really?
They just say, like, you can use the Wi-Fi up above, like, a certain, like, height in the sky, and they're like, it's better if you turn it off during landing because we don't want your phones out in case something bad happens and you have to, like, leave the plane. You can't be playing Flappy Birds or whatever.
Yeah, actually, well, I've been on, like, one flight where they've had, like, Wi-Fi on it, but, like, it costed money, so I was like, no. Not worth it.
What's super nice is, like, they have, like, preloaded movies on the back of the seats.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, the whole flight, just watching movies, it was pretty nice. But, like, another privacy security thing is, like, everybody asks for your email these days. Like, you have to have multiple emails. Just, like, myself, I have, like, my good email that I have, like, my bank through, like, my school stuff, like, my college things. Then I have my my crap email that I... It's like, would you like to access the website? Please put in your name and email. And I'm like, okay, that's going to go to my crap email.
2,000 unread messages.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, I have, like, I think I have, like, 3 emails. I have one for my phone, like, yeah, because smart, like, for the Google Play Store on my smartphone, I have to, like, set up, like, a Gmail for it. So I use that one for that, and then I have my school email, and then I have one for, like, social stuff, like, social media that I set up. So that's my 2,000 unread messages.
I've actually forgot a couple of my emails. Like, I have no idea how to access them anymore. They're linked with the other emails that I've forgotten.
Oh, gosh.
They're a lost cause at this point.
Yeah, no, some of those emails, I never go on them, and then eventually I'll need, like, to go back in them, so I'll have to go through and set it up all again.
And they're so hard to, like, coordinate them. Like, they're like, to access your email, you need a second email to send the first email to access the email. And I'm like, I don't actually want this one anymore. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna not use this email ever again.
Pretty much.
Also, I use, like, for majority of my internet stuff, I use, like, one password. Or, like, two passwords that I just add pieces on in case, like, however, like hardcore security I want to be, I just add a piece onto the password.
Oh, God, no, I hate it when they're, like, you have, like, a regular password you usually use, and then, like, they're, like, oh, add a number and, like, a symbol, and then you have to use an uppercase and a lowercase letter.
No, it's, like, that password for everything else doesn't have an uppercase letter in it. Oh, no, I have to remember this one special this time.
Yeah, no, so, like, some websites, I'm like, I don't remember if this is one of the websites where I had to, like, mess it up a little bit, and then I just end up forgetting it.
like at that point, you have so many passwords, what do you do with it? Do you, like, write them down in real life and hope that no one finds it, and you keep it in, like, a chest or something, I don't know, or...
A treasure chest, and
do you write it down in one of your emails, like, on a little, like, thing?
Probably type it in your phone.
Yeah, but still, it's not, it's... How secure is that? Security is definitely a weird issue, but it's good to talk about it on here.
Mm-hmm. What do you think when like you call up a business or some kind of an automated support thing, and they say this call may be monitored or recorded for whatever need they use
for, like, training purposes or something?
Yeah. What do you think when you hear that?
Better not sound like an idiot.
I think two things. I first think that, oh no, hopefully the government doesn't listen to this in case I say something weird. And then the second thing is I watched like a TV show about, like, undercover bosses or whatever. And one of the people goes to, like, their telemarketing company undercover, and he, like, they train him to, like, talk on the phone. And while the dude, the greenhorn, like, telemarketer boss dude is making his phone call, and he's doing it pretty badly, and then the dude teaching him is, like, right next to him with the phone, and it's, like, kind of like a police interrogation looking scene where they both have the same phone open. So I imagine that happens occasionally.
Yeah, well, what do you think about you... Okay, so either phone calls, you know, sometimes they're recorded, and text messages, whenever you send one of those, it just stays. It's always there. Hmm. What you've sent is always there. It can never be completely gone. It can always be accessed.
I never really, like, think about it. Like, I know that, but I never, like, really think about it when I'm sending a message, because, I mean, I'm not really worried, because, I mean, what exactly illegal activity am I up to? But I think that's, like, pretty creepy. Like, when you sign up for an email and the terms and conditions that you agree to or stuff like that, you're, like, just leasing out that email, and they own the rights to all of the emails that you send or receive.
Or, the terms and conditions, no one reads that. No one's ever read that.
I've read them once.
You could be signing over your soul in the fine print, and you would do it because just to get access to that email. It's like,
for the record, I think it's Apple, the iTunes store. To read all the terms and conditions on there, it would take about a month.
No, those are the ones I actually read once.
Okay, so you might have read it, but it's like the first page, it's like, the terms and conditions can do this, and it tells you what the terms and conditions do, but it doesn't actually show you the actual terms and conditions.
And then eventually it tells you the terms and conditions.
Yeah. We have no responsibility about what happens with our stuff. If you do things wrong, it is on you, and you have to pay for it. Also, we can sue you for whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
and you can't sue us.
Yeah, still go ahead and do it.
Oh, what do you think about Snowden's speech, Edward Snowden, that the youth will never know anything of a sense of privacy? This generation won't know anything about privacy. They won't even have a conception of it.
Well, our generation, us here, I think we have a certain sense of privacy because we've grown up on the cusp of the technological age. When we were like young, we didn't really have like super access to computers. Like, they're still being developed, but children born like right now, their birth is on Facebook. Gosh. Them growing up is on Facebook. Their first walks are on Facebook. I mean, it's crazy.
They have a Facebook when they're like four.
Yeah, they're four and they have a Facebook just for the parents to put their pictures on. I watched some YouTube videos. I watched a certain guy on YouTube, and he does video game. He records himself playing a video game, but he talks about his kid in the background, and he has like a video blog about his kid and his family. And I wonder what that kid's gonna think when he grows up and he listens to his dad's old recordings, and there he is talking about him, and like,
he's probably gonna be like, "Well, I hope my girlfriend never sees this."
Yeah. Oh, the future is gonna have it fun. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
Gosh, I hate it when people like make Facebook pages for their like dogs. Oh gosh.
Please like my Facebook page. It's my dog. He's really cool. I just
talk. No, like friend Facebook page.
Oh yeah. That gets me confused because there's like pages for like anything, like Tom Cruise page, like a video game page, like a celebrity page, anything like that, that's not an actual person. And then there's actual people and their Facebook pages. And when people talk about the page, I just get confused about the two.
So what do you think about Snowden's comparison to today's world to George Orwell's 1984?
I think it's becoming a lot more similar. We definitely have more cameras. And also... I wanted to say that earlier I think it's slightly like, it's hard to actually realize how much of a watch the government has on us as people outside the government. Like, we don't really know how much of a view on our daily lives the government has, but it's definitely interesting having Snowden come out and talk about it because he was a part of the government and. He could tell us firsthand what kind of access the government does have to our information, which I think is pretty great.
Yeah, our government doesn't exactly have telescreens in every room.
No,
but, you know.
Not in every room, but they still have like access to the cameras that are hooked up to Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
yeah.
I heard a rumor a while back. I'm not sure if it's true. It could very well be true. The Xbox, it has a Kinect, which is like a video or a camera you connect to your Xbox so you can play games with you actually in it. And I heard that since the new Xbox is always on, that the government could access through the Xbox your living room through the Kinect and watch you there. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but it's definitely a scary idea.
Well, probably, if, like, it is a camera. If you have your Xbox hooked up to the Wi-Fi, you know, you have your Wi-Fi password in and everything.
Yeah.
Then it should be able to, because it's still a camera and everything, so. And, like, when you're playing games, you know how, like, sometimes, like, you can see yourself, like, in the Kinect, like, in the corner and everything?
Mm-hmm.
It's a camera. They can still.
Yeah.
If they knew to, they could access it.
Also, it's really hard getting your information off the internet once it's on there. Like Dan was saying earlier, Google, you have to, they just passed the law in the European Union that you can actually vote for your information to be taken off Google. But in America here, we don't have that access or that power. So whatever's on there, a lot of companies, you know, if you tell them to, they don't have to take it off the internet. Whatever's on there can stay. And I think as we grow up and our younger stuff is on, like Facebook and stuff, sometimes I cringe when I look back.
Oh, yeah.
And I think to myself, can I actually take this off the internet? Can I? I hope so, because I don't want it on there.
You can at least, like, hide it somehow.
I try to
usually
hide it.
I actually found my grandpa through Facebook because we were in Kansas visiting people, and we, like, left his number at home in the phone book, and we didn't realize it, so we had to, like, go through Google and, like, try to find him, and we found his, like, address and his phone number. And this is my grandpa.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a quote from Snowden's Christmas speech right there. It says, and I want to get your guys' opinion on it. It says, mm-hmm. Privacy is what allows us to determine who we are and who we want to be.
Yeah, I think we all, like, definitely need our own privacy. Like, our minds are our privacy. Like, you know, we need, like, our own, like, self, like, time to reflect, you know, on everything. And so privacy is definitely something that we need to be able to reflect on ourselves and figure out who we are and what we want to be.
Not having that privacy is having someone else's input in our lives. And that molds you in a certain way. Because you're thinking about what they're thinking, they're inputting on you what they think, and you don't need that. I mean, you always have that. That's life. Other people help create you, but having some kind of private portion in your life is a necessity, I think, for sure. And the technical age is definitely pushing against that and smushing it down to us not having any kind of privacy at all. At least the newer generations.
Yeah, but it's also from, like, what a lot of people of the newer generations also, like, post about themselves and everything. Like, some things should just be left unsaid on the internet.
Yeah, some of the loss of privacy is their fault.
Yeah.
But
it's also when they're, like, naive and don't think about it.
One of the articles that we read said that it's like many things, it's a bell curve of privacy. There are some people on one end who only have one strange email and they don't have a Facebook or anything at all like that. No internet shadow of their lives. And then there's some people who just post everything on the internet. I eat breakfast this morning. Look at my French toast. I have a doctor's appointment today. Yada, yada, yada. So there is, and then there's us in between who care, but also want to be on the internet and interact with people like that.
Yeah, like what we were saying earlier, how some people look on your Facebook to see if you're going on a vacation recently or if you're on vacation. And if you are, then they'll, like, go and try to break into your home or something because they know you're gone.
Well, not like regular people, like burglars.
Yeah.
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 Well, they're still regular people, which is crazy.
I have a quote right here from the ACLU, and it says that 75% of people aged 18 to 34 believe that, quote, no one should ever be allowed to have access to my personal data or web behavior.
Unquote.
Unquote. Unquote. Okay. Yeah.
That's iffy. Like, I can't think of any, like, times right now that I would want other people to have access to my personal stuff. But I definitely like my privacy, but there might be times that I want someone to know something about my internet interactions.
Yeah. 75% say that there should be no access to any internet history or...
Well, I think there still should be, like, some access, like, to some degree. Like, when people get accused of, like, murder or something, and then they go online to see if they search something, you know, about it. Like, how do you get rid of a dead body? How do you clean up blood?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if there's, like, a murder trial, and the person's been searching for months how to kill my, my, like, husband or something, that might be a time that you need to access someone's personal information on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just for their sake and everybody else's.
So, I guess there is times that you others should have access, but I definitely like my personal stuff, personal.
Yeah. Well, I know on my computer also, when there's Wi-Fi, like, online, and my computer's online, there's an option for my computer to have, like, to share the files with all the other computers hooked up to the Wi-Fi. So, like, I can access the files on my mom's computer, my stepdad's computer, and they could access mine. Like, I always put no on mine just in case, you know, like, even, like, if you hook up your computer to another service and you forget about it, and then people can access your files, and if you've kept, like, certain stuff in there, like, if you... kept your passwords and emails, like, typed in, like, a document, and they could access it and then ruin your life.
Yeah. I think I only click that for my house Wi-Fi. The other places, it's like, is this a safe place? Do you want to have access to other people's things, or other people have access to your things? And I'm like, nuh-uh, this is Starbucks. No, thank you.
Do you think that if younger generations understood the threat of putting your information out on the internet, they would do it as much? I just read another quote that says, teens certainly do value their privacy. It's just that their threat model is their parents. They're not... the only consequence they can find from that would be from their parents and not from...
Well, it's because their parents, like, they are more aware of the threat. Like, because when you're younger, you don't really think about it. I mean, I never had to go through that, thankfully. But some people have to, like, they won't, like, even listen to their parents when they, like, try to warn them, you know, because they're like, oh, I know what I'm doing, you know, I don't need to be told. But it's just, like, the parents' precautions because they know the risks. And when you're younger, some, like, you can even know the risks, but you won't, like, think about it, or you think it won't happen to you.
Yeah, uh-huh. And it's amazing how much something you post on the internet or, you know, on Facebook or whatever can affect your actual life. Like, we read during our opening that some people can actually be denied a job, be refused a job because of what they've posted on social media or done on the internet.
Well, sometimes that's very valid. I've seen some stupid stuff posted on the internet.
Yeah.
People with, like, drug paraphernalia, like, certain statuses that are just, you shouldn't say to anybody.
Yeah.
Especially not on the internet.
They just want to make sure, like, it won't be, like, a mistake hiring you.
Yeah. But if you leave that on the internet and it's accessible, I mean, it could be an okay thing to do because, you know, like you said, they're hiring you and they want to know what kind of person they're hiring.
Yeah.
It's
just a precaution.
Yeah.
What kind of warnings did your parents or teachers, anyone, give you about posting any information on the internet?
Pretty much just, like, don't post, like, about, like, your personal life, your information, you know, your, like, your name and stuff like that.
So they said don't use Facebook?
Well, I mean, to people, like, you don't know. Like, don't give your information and stuff out to strangers.
Warnings about posting stuff on the internet? Facebook wasn't around for, like, at least half my life.
My parents had Facebook before I did.
My mom wasn't like, Royce, don't go posting that on Facebook. She didn't even know what Facebook was. I made mine back in, like, 2010, maybe, like, 4 years ago, something like that. And I was, how old was I? I was, like, 15, so at that point, like, I had a pretty good handle on what to post and what not to post. But these days, parents know what to look out for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think a lot of times even, like, their kids won't, like, let them see what they, like, post online, you know?
They, like, put passwords on their phones and, like, hide their profiles from their parents. Yeah.
I actually don't have my parents as friends on Facebook just because they, like, sit there on it all the time.
I don't know. If my mom has one. She never uses it. She's like, I don't use Facebook. That's not my thing. I'm like, thank God.
Oh, gosh, no. My stepdad posts the dumbest stuff on Facebook. Like, he'll get, like, drunk one night and then post something stupid on Facebook. I don't even want to deal with that. I just laugh at him, and, like, he'll be, like, getting on Facebook, and I was like, Jim, I thought you, like, shut down your Facebook. I did. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Your Facebook, if you, like, you know, try to delete your account, you can, as long as you, like, put your email back in and then, like, you know, type your password back in, it'll, like, it'll pop back up.
Yeah.
Like, if you shut it down, like, it's, like, never erased.
It's only put down, like, standby mode. Like, yeah. I'm ready for you when you come back. I've got all your stuff. I've got all your friends. Let's do this. Yeah, it was kind of iffy when my family started, like, friending me on Facebook. And I was like, do I really want you guys to see what I've been doing? But it's also been good because I'm like, wait, what I've been doing isn't that bad. Yeah. Probably should stop saying all the F-bombs all over Facebook. It's probably time.
What do you guys think about the confidential rights for minors about, like, medical issues, like substance abuse treatment or family planning and abortion?
Sometimes, like, parental opinions can be detrimental to you, like, how your family thinks about, like, if you've been doing drugs and you want to get clean but you really don't want to tell your parents, like, you should have access to that, and some people just want to do it on their own, and that's good. I think that access should be there, and
pretty much the same with family planning and abortion. I mean,
yeah,
like, if you want to have sex but, you know, you don't want your parents to know because obviously you're a kid and you're in the house,
or you get in trouble and you really don't want a child, and your parents will tell you no and you
disown you
and disown you, and then you'll have a child anyway, like, that's a pretty bad road to go down. So it's definitely good that these rights are here.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about official access to medical records now? It's much more open. A lot of official agencies, such as law enforcement and that type of, you know, that area, can access your medical records. What do you think about that?
And a lot of it's on the internet, too. So, like, not only do the police have access, but if people dig far enough, they can find yours as well. So that's pretty scary.
Yeah, I think for the police, it's, like, better, though, because, like I was saying before, I know someone that was, that's, like, always in Willits all the time. A cop was harassing him, like, down the street somewhere, and he was like, well, I have medical problems, and you're harassing me, or you're trying to give me, like, a heart attack. I can sue you for that. And then after that, like, the cop totally, like, laid off his back and everything, because that's, like, a serious, like, if they're trying to, like, harass you and everything, and you have a problem, medical problem, you can always say that if that's the issue, because if you tell them that, you, like, state that you have a medical issue such as that, then, and they continue to do the same thing, then you can actually sue them for it.
But what if the cop could search up that person's medical information, find out that they don't have a heart condition, and then just continue harassing them?
Well, then they're going to be in big trouble for lying.
Yeah. Huh.
Which would be even worse, because you're going to get in more trouble.
We're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, teachers, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about privacy in the digital age. Do you worry that someone may be tracking and recording your phone calls and internet use? Are there any actions you have taken to protect your privacy?
Should we just accept that after the events of 9/11 that we need to forego privacy for the safety of all Americans? Did you read George Orwell's novel 1984? Do you think that our society has approached the situation with Big Brother and Oceania? If so, is there any hope of turning back? Have you ever had your identity stolen? Was it easy to rectify the problems?
Do you agree with Edward Snowden about the youth of today will never have a sense of privacy? Do the benefits of cell phones and computers outweigh the degradation of the Fourth Amendment? Should the NSA be reined in? Please call in and be part of our conversation. The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air. Wow.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Okay, great show, terrific, and very important. I'd like to add one element of privacy that's important that has not been mentioned, and that is that it's essential for dissent. So if you see something wrong going on under an increasingly totalitarian system of government, you need to have an alternative method to communicate with your friends to say, this is wrong, we need to talk about it, we need to organize to do something about it. You might even have to end up doing what Paul Revere did, get on a horse and ride from town to town. So that sounds funny, but what alternative is there without somebody coming down on you as soon as they even suspect that you dissent? Okay? So thank you very much, and that's another point to consider. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Well, I know what he was talking about, the government and everything, and I don't know if you guys have actually seen the speech Obama just gave not too long ago. He, you know how the thing has been going with the Democrats and the Republicans, how the Republicans have been like voting no against everything Obama has been trying to do and going completely against him. Well, he's pretty much like fed up with it, and he did a speech not too long ago. He walked in, he didn't have a jacket on, he had his shirt like unbuttoned partially, he didn't have his tie tied, and he had his sleeves like rolled up to his elbows. And
business
he was,
Obama.
Yeah, he was pretty much like just fed up with it and saying, okay, I'm done, I'm going to do whatever I want, you know? Like, because you guys aren't trying to help us at all, so the Democrats are just going to do what our goals like were set to do in the first place. And actually, I know that the creator of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, he is like really against what the government has been doing lately, and he's been leading a lot of people in trying to like overthrow the government, you know, because in the Declaration of Independence it states that if your government can no longer like, you know, like handle like the society and they like they're not doing anything for us, then the people actually have the right to overthrow the government. And so he's actually yeah, I've been trying to help people lead that, so I know that's kind of like what he was just talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what that caller just mentioned would should be under the right free speech. That should be
privacy.
Yeah. That's a good point. Should privacy be considered free speech? Yeah, the Fourth Amendment.
And like he said, that we should look out for people traipsing on our privacy, and if it gets so bad, we should rally against it. But something like this, it's kind of hard to see what's happening in the shadows and who's watching us, especially today, because of 'cause it's so like. It's just so hard to see what everyone's saying and doing to our information out there. So it's definitely good that we do try to understand what they're capable of and what they're seeing, and be really interested in our own privacy on the internet, so that we can rally against them if we do lose all of our privacy, and they use that against us.
Yeah, should there be a new amendment, the right to remain silent? to ensure our privacy.
Well, we do have the right to remain silent.
The Miranda That's rights.
Yeah, we have. You we should have know that. We have our Miranda rights. Yeah.
That's one of the first things they say. You have the right to remain silent.
In a court of law.
Well, anything you say or do can be used against you at the court.
At what point do we not trust the government?
When it infringes upon our security, is what I would say.
When it can no longer support us.
I wouldn't say that. I would say upon our safety and well-being.
Yeah, support our rights safety. That we and, as people.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, caller, you're on there.
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you for the program. I'm a parent, and I am trying to encourage my child, who's new to the whole world of the internet, to be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think hearing it from fellow young people who are more experienced is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So I encourage the younger people to listen to you guys because you've been there and you know, and you're of their generation. So keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it helps that we've been through the prior, before social media, and now I think it helps that we've been growing up through both of them, so we kind of know what both is like.
I've definitely taken a second look at my whole, just within the last week of us talking about this, I've gone in and kind of looked at what my privacy is on the internet, and there are some things that have changed. I don't know how long, but my stuff on Facebook's been totally public, and I'm like, I should change that. Definitely. And it's so easy to change. You can just click a little setting by accident and, switch to goes to everyone, publicly, and it's
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, hello.
Hi there, yeah. I was calling about your conversation earlier when you were talking about the police been harassing somebody and them telling them they have a medical condition, and you say, well, let the police look it up. But actually, our medical records are pretty well protected, so if the cop came back and said that you don't have that medical condition, he would be in the grounds to be sued for having access to your medical records.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, without a really reason to, I guess.
Well, no, you need a court order to get into people's medical records at this point.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to throw that out there, that the police shouldn't be harassing people. They certainly can't look up your medical records.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right, thanks. Great show.
I'm just thinking, with the easier access it is to our public records, with it all being on the internet, with, people who are more likely to do illegal things, and with easier access, that they can just look at it if they're willing to go against the law. They still have easier access to this information, and therefore can use it if they're willing to go against the law.
Yeah, but then that can cost them their whole job.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as a police officer, you get paid pretty good, and, it would just be a bad thing to get fired from.
I was just reading this thing about what's wrong with public surveillance, the CCTV, and I guess we have another caller. I'll talk about this in a second.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm calling you from an undisclosed location on a phone booth, at a phone booth, I should say, on a disposable phone card I can throw away.
That's rare. Where'd you find that?
I told you I'd have to. I can't say it.
You
can find these cards at probably most, for instance, and this isn't the one that I have, but a CVS.
Well, I was talking about the phone booth.
Excuse me?
I was talking about the phone booth.
That's kind of hard these days, and this is actually a phone booth. It's probably one of the last two on the West Coast. I'm out here near Fort Bragg. And I'll tell you who I am. Most people probably recognize my voice anyway. Jeff Wright on the Mendocino Coast. And a couple things I want to mention to you. My generation tends to forget this. And I'm a few weeks older than you all. I'll just leave it there. If I told that to you, I'd probably die anyway. So my point on this, though, is we had Social Security already in place when we were brought up in the world at about the time in our lives where you are right now. It was already there. But the generations previous to us had the same feeling about that number being attached to everything they did and were very, very upset with Social Security. So that's kind of the thing that led into the writing of 1984 and was some of the seeds of that. However, that doesn't justify the abuse of it. And in fact, do you know who's allowed to have your Social Security number other than you legally, as far as who's legally permitted to have it and ask for it?
Other than the government? The police?
Well, not even them. The IRS is the only ones that legally can have it. You can deny that number to the police if they ask for it. So that's between me and the IRS. That's what I tell them. They move on to the next one. What's your driver's license number? And, you know, if you don't have that with you, maybe you don't remember. I'm just suggesting, you know. Anyway, several things concerning the privacy. You all mentioned about certain people having access to somebody, for instance, looks up how to clean up blood in a murder. Well, you know, at face value, that seems to make a lot of sense. However, what if you have a relative or a spouse or a girlfriend or boyfriend that's victim of a crime and you're trying to figure out who the hell might have done it and what they might have done to do it to maybe find some clues in time for them to not be disappeared, and you're looking up how somebody might have done that? Should you all of a sudden be tagged as a suspect? And that often happens to people just because of their proximity. So my point with that is I tend to disagree that people should have any access to anything that you do in a private manner. What if you're writing a novel and you're a mystery writer? There's been, like, Stephen King has gotten in trouble for some of the things he looked up before he was well known. So I think that the way to handle that is in the way that they have always traditionally handled it. In other words, there's other ways for them to find out that information. They shouldn't. They don't really need to know any of that. You mentioned earlier about this call may be monitored or recorded for training purposes. Well, there's nothing in that statement that says that it can't be subpoenaed later on or even be listened to if you're on a cell phone immediately by law enforcement. Now, wait a minute. Come to think of it, this week, it was just this week, the Supreme Court, I got to give them credit on this one. I was calling them the Extreme Court, but I'll call them the Supreme Court on this, actually made a ruling that seems kind of decent in that they realized, my reaction to it is, duh, that you need to have a search warrant in order to go through somebody's effects, personal papers and effects, in this case, the effect being what it was effectively papers, your cell phone, your smartphone, your information. And the government, the law enforcement people were conveniently using it until they had a specific case.
That's true, but they can still have access to your emails and stuff because, like I said before, when you accept the terms and conditions, they own all of your emails that you send or receive, so they can still legally go through all of your emails.
Right. Well, and that's why I don't have one of those. Back when I was younger, we used to have phone recorders where you have access when somebody left you a message or you left yourself a message like you wanted to remember Grandpa's phone number, for instance. You could leave yourself a message, and when you got home, you could erase it. You could take a magnet to that tape and erase the whole thing if you wanted to. You had control of that. Now it's off in the cloud somewhere, and anybody can zap into your personal info. So my feeling on this is Ed Snowden is right. I think he's a national hero. I think he's very much like Daniel Ellsberg. Ellsberg went through hell, the same kind of hell that Ed Snowden and Chelsea Manning are going through right now. And later on, it took a while, but later on society realized what heroes they are. In fact, I'm writing in the Snowden-Manning 2016 ticket. I'm going to print up some bumper stickers. Snowden-Manning, and we'll call it Snowman for short. So what's the code word? Snowman will get them.
That's great.
I really do think we need to keep our business, in other words, what's none of their business or none of your business, it's my business, is just fine. And ironically, I wanted to end with this thought. I don't believe in Facebook. I call Mark Zuckerberg, I started his name with an F because he wasn't always so against the government. It's just now the public is swinging that way, and I think he's really been kind of a snitch. In fact, what is that thing that's attached to the computer that you roll around on that pad? What is that called?
Roll around on the pad. A mouse?
Not a mouse, it's a rat. And so what I've come up with is instead of Facebook, I don't get on the internet, but I do have a website. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. It's me and my spider, the spider phone booth with me. And I call my website, Get Out of My Facebook. My spider and I, we're on the anti-social network. Leave us alone.
That's great.
That in mind.
Okay, thank you, caller. Well, what he was saying about the online, how nobody should have access to, like, your previous browser history, how people have gotten in trouble for it, I think what he said is true, but, I mean, I think it does do a lot of good, considering, I mean, if you're in, like, a murder trial and, you know, as long as you're not guilty, just because you searched those things up doesn't mean you're guilty, because you have to be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. So.
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier about the CCTV and the what's wrong with the public video surveillance, is it can be abused for personal purposes, and it has been. People can, like you said, threaten people later after a crime has been committed because they've seen it on the CCTV, and I have a whole list of things here, actually, off of one of the papers that we have. There's discriminatory targeting, there's voyeurism, there's constitutional abuse, so it's definitely not perfect, and most of the time not even effective, so there are some issues with that.
Yeah, I think that definitely within these few years that there needs to be a ton of laws, like, placed and put into action about privacy and stuff like that of the internet, and there needs to be more in the future when it gets even more advanced.
I'm glad these things are happening, though, right now.
Yeah.
Like, with that new Supreme Court decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these calls aren't rolling in like we hoped they would be. Come on, you guys. We have so much to talk about. Oh, I guess we only have a minute. Never mind.
What do you guys think about Instagram? How you always, like, it's a social media app where you, like, it's pictures. So, like, you take a picture and you post it and you share it with people.
I think it's one of the least dangerous privacy kind of things you can do on the internet. Like, it's mostly just pictures.
But, I mean, you can, like, post pictures of, like, where you are. You're like, oh, yeah, we're here right now. And then...
yeah... But there's, I don't know, I don't actually use it that well. I don't even know if I have my name on that. I have a bunch of pictures of, like...
I have, like, my first name and my middle name on it.
Dogs and stuff. I mean, I think there is, like, Facebook, you have a lot more information on there. And
yeah.
Twitter is, Twitter...
Yeah, well, I mean,
yeah, Twitter is, you have a profile on there. And, like, Tumblr, not as bad as Facebook, but still pretty bad.
Yeah, I think Tumblr is, like, under, like, Instagram, too. Because, I mean, most of the people usually just, like, share photos and
you can
stuff
have like
other
like a
people.
Fake profile on there. You don't have to have like your actual information.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, can I say one more thing? I think everything on social networking and everything just boils down to how you use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your host today have been me, Royce.
Me, Jordan.
And myself, Jesse.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email drema@jmashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is August 3rd at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in August.